Good evening.
Hello, good evening. Hello, hello. That's what it looks like right there.
All right.
How's everybody today on this, the first Monday? Is this the first Monday in this new year?
First Monday in the new year.
And we praise God for each of you. How's the sound? Let us know the sound is good. We're making adjustments. It's been a minute since we have been on, but we praise God for each of you as you prepare to come on. This is indeed the day the Lord has made. And we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. And so we thank God today for his keeping power. We thank him for allowing us to cross over into this new year. Are you excited about this new year, Lady Kim?
I am excited about the new year. I wanted 2021 to get thee behind me.
So you were glad that 2021 has exited the building, huh?
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right. Well, we are grateful for another opportunity. We're coming on a little early just to get some sound checks and to make sure our signal is clear. And we're going to be in the book of Joshua, a whole new study, starting a whole new study, the book of Joshua, 24 chapters there. It's an exciting book, and I think it's going to be right in line with our theme for this year, the year of abundant harvest, because this particular book really teaches us a lot about trusting God, being faithful, being obedient, following the assignment that God has for us, and then not being deterred when we run into some difficulties or some things that might try to hinder us from getting to where God would have us to be. And so I'm excited about this study. We're going to just do a brief introduction tonight and just kind of talk a little bit about some of the background for this particular book, and then try to cover chapter one tonight. Huh? Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Why were you repeating after me?
Or? I'm repeating after you.
Okay. You didn't know I was going to say that, though. You was like, yeah, chapter one. Okay. All right. But we praise God for each of you. Did you have a great New Year's, Reverend?
I did, because I was with you.
Okay. All right. I see where this is going. And tell me about what made it so great since you were with me. Tell the audience about it. Look at them and tell them what made it so great for you.
Just glad to be in the land of the living. You know, with all this COVID going on, mm-hmm. and people being sick and in the hospital and recovering from COVID, so much going on in this world, just to have our health and strength and be able to, you know, just be alive and well.
I know that's
right.
It's
a blessing.
That's true. That's true. So that's the part that you were making reference to about glad that you spent it with me or being with me.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just trying to connect the dots. I'm just trying to make sure everybody's following this.
Well, what did you enjoy about the New Year?
It was a lot going on. Christmas, our anniversary, New Year's, Christmas Day service, a couple of funerals there, and then dealing with putting some things on the back burner. But whenever someone loses a loved one, of course, we want to yield to whatever their needs are, because we've been there, both of us, and it's a very difficult time. And so the time that we spend around Christmas and just being with family, being with you, of course, and then having the opportunity to celebrate our anniversary and then to participate in being a part of a New Year's service on yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just great to see family and to be a part of, you know, everything that God is doing in the life of the church, and to be particularly with you as we celebrated 42 years of ministry. And you look no older than about 45, and so people all
42 years of ministry.
I mean, of
marriage.
Ministry and marriage. Yeah,
well,
all of that.
Not quite 42 years. Well, yeah, you're right.
Okay, all right.
You're right.
So all of that kind of bundled up in together.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is indeed a ministry, you know. And sometimes people don't look at it like that. I remember not long ago at one of our renewals. I think somebody sang that song for us, You Are My Ministry. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was, what's the name that sings in Chicago, your best friend, one of your best friends? Max.
Maxine.
That's what she sang.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You Are My Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so it all ties in, and we really just kind of talking, making sure everybody's coming on and that you're getting a good signal. But when people start looking at ministry and marriage, when they look at their marriage as a ministry, then it's a lot of yielding. It's a lot of following the precepts and the mandates that God has required. It's a lot of giving up, and as well as a lot of give and take. It's not a 50-50, you know, agreement. And we've gone through this in some of the counseling sessions that we've had with couples that they prepare. People talk about 50-50. No, it's 100-100. And so that's part of what has allowed us to make it. And there's no perfect relationship. There's no perfect marriage. There are no perfect people. And so you can't change people. And so once we come to grips with that and start to grow with people as God grows them, then we'll find out when you're on that track that you'll see God mature to a couples into the person and the people that he would want them to be.
Amen.
And so it's not absence of disagreements or, you know, sometimes even arguments. It's not absent of none of that. People don't think you argue, but see that they hadn't seen that Chicago side come out. But it's not absent of none of that. It's all a part of it, and that's what makes us grow. But I think it's those tough times, to those tough decisions, where you press through it and don't give up and don't throw in the towel, that really helps to develop the relationship. And it's a covenant agreement that we've made with God and with each other.
Amen.
So did I make myself clear? Did I answer all your questions? Because you had a barrage of questions that you were asking me. I want to make sure I covered everything.
That was good. You did well.
You remember what the question was originally that you asked me?
Yes, about New Year's. What did you enjoy best about New Year's?
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. All right, you on it. Well, all right, that's enough. You want to keep going? We can keep going. This is not part of what we want.
No, we want to get into Joshua tonight. Yeah.
All right, but this might be helping somebody.
It might be. I'm sure it is.
In terms of trying to come to terms with decisions and trying at a crossroads, mm-hmm. and perhaps
Absolutely.
Even contemplating walking away or giving up.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to stick and stay through the good, the bad, and the difficult times and sickness and in health. So when you take that as a covenant agreement, then it moves you past looking at that as a contractual agreement between
right.
two people.
Right.
And you're in covenant with God, and the two of you are following God, and the man should be the head of the house. And as I seek God and follow God's direction, then the woman should line up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be a difficult or a strain, because when both of the couples are in proper standing with God and they have established a proper relationship, the vertical relationship is in place, and then the horizontal relationships take care of themselves.
Amen. That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. We did a series a while back on relationships, and we might have to visit that again sometime this year. But we're just conversing as we prepare for the study tonight. There's a lot of information we want to try to cover, and we thank God for each of you who are on the Bible study tonight. If you have a question, and all of that was not something we prepared, just something that we began to share, and we've been together well over 42 years. We've been married 42 years, but we've been together for about 45 years.
45.
Mm-hmm. And you don't look a day over 45. You
well,
know.
Thank you.
That's right. I know a lot of people would agree with me on that, but I'm a dead giveaway when they see you with this old man. They say, well, she's got to be a little bit older than that. All right, let's get started. Let's have prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you for this day, and we do thank you for our lives. Thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for being God and God alone. And now, God, we pray that even as we prepare for this time together, that you might order our steps and lead us in the way in which you would have us to go. We're certainly grateful for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you will do. And thank you for this, the first study in this new year, as we have had a little break. Now we are back and ready to continue to move forward. So God, go before us even as we prepare for this time together. And we pray for each person on this virtual study tonight, and those who will hear it later. Whatever needs are present, we pray that you will meet those needs and show yourself strong. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And praise
Amen.
God.
Yes.
All right. And yesterday we failed to mention that it was the birthday for Anointed Temple of Praise.
That's right.
How many years?
22 years.
22 years.
22 years.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
God has been faithful, hasn't he?
Yes, he's been faithful.
God has brought us all the way. And I know the saying is he has brought us a mighty long way, but God has brought us all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like it's been 22 years. I was reading one of the directories, and I started to call the roll of all of the people, but I was afraid that I was going to leave out somebody if I started calling names. But there have been people who have blessed us and sown into the ministry, and some have gone on to be with the Lord. But we praise God for his keeping power and for him sustaining us for 22 years. And we look forward with eager anticipation for this abundant harvest
that's
in store for us this
Amen.
Year.
Amen. Amen. And I know that God is not going to disappoint in this new year. He started out with a bang on
yesterday. That's right.
You know, you talked about 1,000 souls, you know, 1,000 people giving their lives to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not saying 1,000 people are going to come to Anointed Temple of Praise, but that if each one reaches one,
right,
each
right.
one reaches 10,
right.
you know, and witnesses to 10 people, you know, we can get to 1,000 souls being saved. And then you said 100 baptisms.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday we had a candidate for baptism.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's 99 more to go.
Yep,
hallelujah.
That's right.
So
right.
we thank God for God adding to his kingdom on yesterday.
And we can add that one as a soul as well.
Absolutely.
It's subtracted from that 1,000.
That's right. 999 and 99.
That's right. That's right. And so we're well on the way, and it starts with one,
mm-hmm.
and then we continue to move from there. I just believe that God's going to open the floodgates this year, and I just believe that once we know our assignment, and that's part of what you're going to share with us about what I talked about, that we'll see even with Joshua tonight that when he gave out assignments, that's when the promises of God began to come forth, because he saw the faithfulness and the commitment of the people.
Amen. Amen.
You have some comments there that need to be?
Yeah, well, I don't want to digress, but God okay. bless you, Brother Tony. Brother Tony said you were helping him. You know, he's at a crossroads.
Which Tony is that?
Tony Harris. I'm not familiar with Tony
okay,
Harris.
Okay. Okay. When we're
God
talking about marriage
you.
And
yes,
everything. Okay.
God bless you. You know, and I said I wasn't gonna digress, but the Spirit just spoke to me and said, you know, marriage is really not marriage in the easy times,
mm-hmm.
because anybody can be married when it's easy.
That's right.
But marriage is really grunt work when it's hard.
That's right. That's right.
You know, when you have to struggle and work through your issues and problems.
Mm-hmm. And health challenges.
Because
a lot of times that's kind of a turning point for a lot of couples, when someone falls ill or they're not able to do some of the things that they were used to do. Sometimes people start looking in other directions because needs not being fulfilled or situations not the way they used to be. But, you know, I used to have a semi-afro back in the day, but look at her. I hardly have any hair. But Lady Kim, when I met her, her hair was, She had much more hair than what she has now, and she used to wear an afro all the time. But people change. We grow together through difficult times as well as good times. And I believe those difficult times really help strengthen our marriage and our relationship.
Absolutely.
Because we stuck together and we went through it together. We didn't pull away from each other, but we went through it together, not knowing what God was going to do.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And I know this isn't a relationship Bible study, but one more thing that the Spirit spoke to me, and we have to realize that marriage goes through seasons.
Okay.
Just like the seasons of the year. You might be in the winter time of your marriage right now.
Okay.
But guess what? Spring is coming.
Spring is coming.
But you have to cultivate, you have to wait on that springtime. But while you're waiting, there's some things you have to do. And then after, you know, the spring, there's the summer. You
That's
know,
right.
where you
That's
all
right.
happy and in love again, mm-hmm. and, you know, doing things together and seem like you on one accord, and then all of a sudden here comes a chill again.
That's
you know
right.
a chill in the air. But you have to work through those seasons in your marriage. It's not going to be summertime always.
That's right. That's right.
And guess what? It's not going to be wintertime always
right.
either, if you work
that's right
on your marriage.
That's good. And the same thing it took to get
your baby hooked.
It's going to take the same thing to keep her. There's some flowers in there on the table now.
Absolutely.
You know, and so, you know, we have a consistent time that we spend together, absent from everything else and other people, and make sure that we have that personal time. And that's where the strengthening of the relationship comes, mm-hmm. and that's where the fire continues to blaze. You see that look? See that smile right there? That's what I'm talking about.
You see that smile right there? Yes.
All right.
We need to move on.
That's right.
We might need to do a relationship Bible study. Yeah.
See if there are any other questions, and then we're just getting started with this this series in Joshua, and we still have enough time to kind of help, you know, to pick some things up as we move through and make up for some of the lost time that we've had maybe tonight, because it's 15 after. Any more questions or comments?
No,
there?
Not right now. Everybody's just saying hello and Happy New Year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you're going to share a little bit about what happened on yesterday. I know you mentioned that the Lord added to the church, and we were really setting the tone under our theme from Leviticus 26 and 10, mm-hmm. and talking about knowing your assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that if we're going to have an abundant harvest, then we have to know our assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And the abundant harvest is not just for the church, but it has to be individually as well as corporate, in terms of us having a clear understanding in terms of what God requires of us.
Amen. And that verse that you selected as our theme for this year, Leviticus 26 and 10, you will still be eating last year's harvest,
mm-hmm.
when you will have to move it out to make room
wow.
for the new.
Isn't that something?
That is powerful,
That's powerful
right there.
Isn't it?
You know that God has so blessed us, many of us, in 2021, that we're going to have to move some stuff aside
That's right.
order to get the other blessings that God has in store for us in 2022. So I'm claiming that, because
right.
I know we were blessed in 2021.
That's right.
In Our church of, was yeah. blessed in mm-hmm. 2021. Mm-hmm. The people of God as a whole corporately were blessed in 2021. You may have lost a few things, but you gained so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday you talked about you need to get a vision of your harvest.
That's right.
You know, if you don't have a vision, where there's no vision, the people
Absolutely.
Perish.
Absolutely.
And so if you have a vision, God can make the provision
Uh-oh.
Through your vision.
All right.
Amen.
Brother.
You have to see it. Before you have to see it before
let me,
you
let me,
obtain.
Let me get my pen out.
You
That's
know,
right. That's right.
You have to see it, visualize it. That's why, you know, when you want to build a house, you don't just run out and go and get some wood and some concrete and so. What do? You make a plan.
That's right.
You know, you put it on paper. You have an architect to draw up exactly how you want that house to look and what that house is to to have in it. You know, you want 2 bedrooms, 3 bedrooms, 5 bedrooms, and 4 bathrooms, you got to put it on paper.
That's right.
They have to see it. The builders have to be able to see what it is visually in order to start to construct it. In the same way, spiritually, mm-hmm. we have to have a vision for our harvest. We need a vision. Get it in your mind what you want God to do. Amen. Mm-hmm. But it's just not good enough to get it in your mind. You got some work to do too. You got most of the work to do.
That's right.
You know, but the second thing, you have to be qualified to receive your harvest.
Well, see, I just cleared one point yesterday, and that's going to be where I'm going to start this Sunday.
Okay.
But if you have something you want to add, I'm all
now.
I'm,
you know what?
Pinned.
We're going to haul that up because we still got Joshua to get to. Amen.
All right.
So we get a vision for your harvest.
That's right.
You know, just like that, the plan that the architect has. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Y'all come back next week. We're going to have the rest of it for you. Okay.
All right. That sounds all right. Good. Sounds good. Well, we're in Joshua, the Old Testament book of Joshua. We're going to do an introduction tonight and then try to cover chapter 1 because this is a very powerful book. Many of you have had an opportunity to hear or study Joshua, and there's a lot here that might bring back some remembrance of some of the scriptures that you've learned in terms of the book of Joshua. But the main theme for Joshua, the sixth book of the Bible, is trusting God to be faithful to his word. Let me say that again. The main theme of Joshua is trusting God to be faithful to his word.
Amen.
And so we've got to trust God. The writer of Proverbs would decree that we have to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding, and in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he's promised to direct our path. And so Joshua had a lot of trusting to do, mm-hmm. but it didn't just start with the book of Joshua.
Right.
But he was Moses's right-hand man.
Yes. And Moses was his mentor.
Mentor, that's right.
Yes, and it's good to have a mentor, mm-hmm. someone to learn from.
That's right.
You know, once you learn from someone, you know, you don't try to imitate them. But you take the best qualities and you build upon mm-hmm, them in your own style and in your own way.
Okay. And so this book really talks about how the people of Israel conquered and reclaimed the promised land by faith. And it's really an encouragement for every believer to follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this book really kind of sets the tone and helps us to see that there's absolutely nothing too hard for God if we but trust him.
Amen.
And Joshua displays that he's standing on the power and the promises of God, even though the mantle has been passed and Moses is dead. Joshua takes on the leadership,
mm-hmm.
and he flows in his assignment. Mm-hmm. There, that word assignment again, because he has had proper relationship with the man who had gone before him.
Amen.
So part of this whole study, we know that Moses dies before Israel is ready to begin their conquest in Canaan. And this book tells us that Joshua is appointed the new leader. And this book is written by Joshua. And it tells of some of the exploits that they had to endure and some of the things they had to go through as Joshua leads the children of Israel to settle, if you will, in the promised land. And so this book really kind of points to the covenant relationship of obedience,
mm-hmm.
and how important it is for us to be in covenant relationship. I think that's part of what we talked about a few minutes ago,
mm-hmm.
before, during, and after God fulfills his promise. Sometimes people, they once God has done a thing, or once God has revealed and open up a window, then we start lacking in our covenant agreement with God.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to stick with God. We have to continue to have covenant obedience before, during, and after what God fulfills in terms of his promises.
Amen. And we have to remember that, you know, God made several covenants. I think seven or eight covenants,
mm-hmm.
With people throughout the Bible. But a covenant is a promise.
That's right.
You know, it's a promise. And a lot of times we look at a covenant as a contract, but a covenant is more than just a contract.
Right.
A covenant is a two-way agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like you sign an agreement to get a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
That's a contract, but it's also a covenant because you're making a promise that if you borrow that money, you're going to pay it back.
Right.
That if you, you know, go and use that credit card to buy whatever you need to buy, you're promising or you made a covenant with that company that you're going to repay that money, unfortunately, with interest.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
But, you know, God doesn't ask us for interest.
No.
Interest. You know, he makes a covenant with us and he keeps his promises with us. But do we keep our promises
That's
with
right.
God?
That's right. So the big distinction there probably has to do with covenant being spiritual and contracts being in the natural, mm-hmm. More legal,
mm-hmm.
legalistic.
Okay.
And with mm-hmm. covenant, it's a spiritual agreement and arrangement that God sets in place.
Yes.
And so from this book, we're just kind of recapping right now. We're studying Joshua for those of you who are coming on. We're going to learn some very valuable lessons here from the life of Joshua that shows him as a man of courage,
mm-hmm.
and that he did not give up. He did not quit. He did not throw in the towel, and that he did not fight his battles alone.
That's right.
And sometimes we run up against situations mm-hmm. where we want to give up and throw in the towel.
Mm-hmm.
But just like what we're talking about with relationships and with marriage, you got to go through the good, the bad, and even the ugly, the ups and the downs, the difficult days,
mm-hmm.
the times when it's raining and times when the sun is shining,
mm-hmm.
and continue to be steadfast in your approach.
Mm-hmm. But the good thing about it is, just like Joshua, he did not fight his battles alone.
That's right. That's
right. He did not fight him alone. You know, he was devoted to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, people's obedience would result in a life of blessings, but their unfaithfulness and disobedience would bring about the same divine justice that God brought on the Canaanites.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
You know, I said all that to say, don't fight your battles alone. A lot of times when we're up against something, we try to take it on ourselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if we know God,
right?
Because God knows us.
Mm-hmm.
If we're in Christ Jesus, God will fight our battles for us. Sometimes we just have to
stand still
and see the salvation of God.
Mm-hmm.
Stand still and be quiet.
Yeah.
And
let the
watch
Lord
God
fight our battles.
Fight the battles.
That's
yes.
right. That's right. So this really is an interesting book, Lady Kim, and summary. These chapters really, the first 12 chapters talk about the conquest of the promised land,
mm-hmm.
and some of the things that he had to go through. And that first chapter lets us know that Joshua was the son of Moses' helper, a man named Nun,
mm-hmm.
and that Moses died, and then the Lord told Joshua to gather the people. And one of the things I found out about that is that, one of the things that stuck out for me, and that is important for us as parents, as mentors, to lead by example,
mm-hmm.
not just at the church,
mm-hmm.
but even in our personal lives,
mm-hmm.
because Joshua, first of all, was following the direction of his father,
mm-hmm.
and he had a powerful mentor in Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And so his behavior, Joshua's father's behavior, helped Joshua to understand that what you believe about God has to match up with your behavior,
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
who God is. And so your behavior should match your belief.
Amen.
And so he learned that at home.
Right.
And then when he went and he stood side by side with Moses and saw all of the exploits that God was able to do through Moses, it just gave him even a greater confidence,
mm-hmm.
and a courage to continue to do what he didn't think he could do himself.
Amen. So Nun was his foundation.
Right, right.
Nun, who was Joshua's father,
mm-hmm.
was Joshua's spiritual foundation.
That's right.
And that's key. in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
That there is a spiritual foundation. And I know a lot of homes are lacking a father figure,
mm-hmm,
or a father. But mothers, you can be that nun for your sons.
Mm-hmm.
You can be that nun for your daughters. They need a spiritual base.
Mm-hmm.
And I know during this COVID season, the enemy has pulled people away from the church. The enemy has pulled people away from the word, has pulled people away from studying the word, has pulled people away from prayer. But parents, mama, daddy, you have to be that spiritual foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And the children have to see it in you.
They have to see it. They have to see it at home before they get out in the world. Because that's part of what the problem is nowadays. They have no spiritual foundation in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they get outside the home, in school or out there in the world, then they behave any kind of way and
mm-hmm.
reckless, and
mm-hmm.
their lives end up being a wreck,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
they have no spiritual foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And there are surrogates as well, Lady Kim, that God places in the lives of people so that they can help mentor and help push people in the direction that
mm-hmm.
he has destined for their lives.
Amen. Amen. That's true. And I was talking to a counselor at one of the high schools today about a young man who's been on homebound for a while. But he was on homebound because he was running with the wrong crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he was shot in the back. And now he's paralyzed
mm-hmm.
in a wheelchair. But the good thing is he's getting ready to go back to school.
They have
to make accommodations for him. But I'm saying that to say this. All the people that he was running with in that gang,
mm-hmm.
once he got shot, the counselor told me, they don't even come to see him anymore. They don't even talk to him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And because he felt so isolated and he felt so alone, he was so depressed, he just locked himself in the room.
Yeah.
And so the mother talked to the counselor, and the counselor called the young man and said, just come up to the school. It was an effort for the mother to get the son to the school every day in that wheelchair. But she brought him to the school every day. And he just talked to the boy and let the young man go around the school with him. And he just talked to him some. And now he's getting ready to go back to school full time. And I said all that to say that there are mentors or father figures
out there that can
help bring a person through.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Don't give up. Hold on. I know I took a left ziggity boom
and went that way.
But
so several people commented on there about the relationship series, Lady Kim, and that's something we need to really look at maybe doing, before this year is out. And somebody, if you need help or if you you're going through a difficult time and you're struggling right now and you can't wait for the series, then just give us a call and we can set up something. I know that your schedule is already overflowing, but when people need help, we have to be there to assist. But we were talking about just summarizing Joshua and some of the things that's happening. There's our tallest Timothy there on the call. And we were talking about how Joshua leads the battle against the city of Jericho and many other campaigns. All of that's coming out here in the first 12 chapters. And then the interesting thing that I saw here, Lady Kim, is that he assigns specific areas to the tribes
mm-hmm.
and encourages mm-hmm. each tribe to drive out the remaining Canaanites
in
the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord fulfills his promises to give the land of Canaan to Jacob's descendants.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm saying there is that they were under assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of them getting specific instructions, I believe that released the promises that God had waiting on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the fulfillment of those promises came to fruition for
Amen.
Them.
Yeah. Amen.
So, you ready to go ahead and jump into this first chapter and just kind of see what how much time we could cover with this first chapter of Joshua?
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot here. And this is a very familiar chapter for many Bible readers. And I don't know if you have, do you have your Bible with you? You don't have your iPad, but let's see. He talks about in that first chapter, be strong and courageous.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua is really receiving his charge here. Do you see it? Let's read maybe the first six verses there and see what it unpacks in this particular. I think there are about 18 verses there in it.
I believe so.
Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse number 1.
All right, I'm reading from the NIV version tonight. Okay. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, mm-hmm. as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea and in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them.
Okay. And so we see that Moses is exited off the scene.
Mm-hmm.
He's exiting off of the scene. And part of what I thought about when I was reading that was sometimes after God uses a person to fulfill their assignment, he always has somebody else in place to continue what he has destined for the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a succession that happens here, particularly with Moses and with Joshua,
mm-hmm.
that was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is that with ministry, we have to be intentional about that and specific. And that's back to understanding assignments,
mm-hmm.
because people sometimes get in a hurry. Joshua could have been eagerly waiting to lead and in a hurry, and he could have messed up a whole lot of things that God had already set in motion,
mm-hmm.
because of his eagerness and his unwillingness to wait on God to do what he said he would do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so the other part in that, and I think in that third verse where he says every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you, and as I said I would to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of that has to do with us being inconsistent, trust, and consistently believing that God's promises will come to pass. And there are a lot of things that's waiting for us that we haven't even received yet because of our unwillingness to step out and to trust God.
That's right.
In unfamiliar territory.
That's right.
And you got to trust him even when you can't trace him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Joshua was able to see that in Moses' time, how he was able to conquer many people, you know, many tribes of Israel,
mm-hmm.
and whole territories. The Philistines, the Phoenicians, they were two great nations. They were conquered by Joshua,
yeah.
But assigned to Israel for an inheritance. The conquest which Joshua began for the people must be carried out in detail by several tribes themselves. So that's when, you know, Joshua is, when it talks about where the sole of your foot will tread, you know, that the Lord will give it unto them. So wherever they go,
mm-hmm.
they're going to conquer.
That's right. And sometimes we don't want to walk it out, but you got to walk this thing out. And many times we miss out on what God has for us because of our failure to walk out what God has instructed us to do.
Amen.
And so we have to walk it out. I was thinking about when we first were inquiring about the property that we have now on Riverdale, and how the Lord had placed in my spirit that that was going to be our property long before we got it.
And yeah. Stop right there, because we're going to save that for when Joshua gets on the wall, goes around the wall, okay?
All right, we'll stop. But the other part of this, and you see a whole lot of familiar verses in the first six verses that you read,
mm-hmm.
because Joshua is getting instruction from God. It tells him to be strong and of good courage,
mm-hmm.
for unto this people I will divide the inheritance of the land that I had already sworn to your fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the promise was already in place long before Joshua comes on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to fulfill the destiny that was not achieved, and he had to understand the assignment. And the interesting thing about it, Lady Kim, sometimes we can be on the assignment and need encouragement to go ahead and fulfill what That's God good. Has placed in our hearts.
Yes.
You know?
And I think God is telling me he was encouraging.
That's right. He was encouraging.
And, yeah, I see that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we need that encouragement along the journey, even though we're operating in the assignment. Sometimes it gets difficult. Sometimes mm-hmm. it gets hard. It gets rough. And as we always say, if nobody else encourages you, learn how to encourage yourself. Don't grow weary in well-doing,
mm-hmm.
but in due season you shall reap if you faint not.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've just read the first six verses of Joshua and the first chapter. And so, Lady Kim, if you can read maybe down to verse number 15, and then we only have a few more verses to read after that. And let's just focus on some of the things that's happening from verse number 7 through 15.
Okay. The seventh verse of Joshua, the first chapter, be strong and very courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go.
Okay.
Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
Okay.
Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready.
That's right.
3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord your God is giving you for your own land. But the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the commandment that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land.
Mm-hmm.
Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God has given them. After that, you will go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you had commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go.
Hmm. Well, you just got two more verses now. You might as well go ahead and read those. But we're going to try to stop at around verse number
I thought
13.
You said 16.
But no.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Okay. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you.
Mm-hmm.
Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.
Only be strong and courageous. And I think from those verses, Lady Kim, that you just read, we see some instructions attached to the assignment that Joshua has in terms of what he needs to do in order to be successful. Because one of the passage, one translation, and I think it's verse number number 9, remember how have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God will be with thee whatsoever thou goest. And so God is really laying the foundation here for Joshua and making sure that he understands the importance of following the precepts, the mandate, and being obedient to the things that he's already seen in Moses, and how he's got to follow that particular precept, the precepts that Moses made Moses successful in order for him to achieve a measure of success as well.
And again, God is reminding Joshua, not reminding him, but yes, he's reminding him. He's encouraging him. What you saw in Moses or what you saw happen with Moses will also happen with you.
That's
so
right.
So stand courageous. Be courageous and go forth and do what I've told you to do.
And I think even if you look at verse number number 8, where he says, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
That's good.
So many times people try to come up with another a way in which they can achieve success, and oftentimes it's based upon success that the world offers. But God is clear right here in terms of how the success that he wants us to have comes as a result of us being faithful and allowing this word to be a seed and fertile soil unto our souls, and to do what God requires of us, and to meditate on this word day and night and not grow weary, because the promises of God are released as a result of our obedience to what God calls for us to do.
Amen. Amen. Right. So he's calling for us to be obedient again and courageous. I like that.
Yeah. And then I think in that verse number 13, he said, remember the word which Moses, thy servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. And so that's a sign of reinforcement in terms of not giving up and not throwing in the towel and not becoming frustrated when things don't go according to plan, because God has given him some specific instructions and he's laying out a detailed assignment for him in order for him to achieve success for the journey that lies ahead.
Amen. And the people were to remember, you know, Moses' charge and command to them. They were to keep the promise to him. Joshua was to see that they did so, and that land that they were promised was given to them as their place of rest.
That's
you
right.
know, they had wandered in the wilderness for some 40 years. Now they're ready to go in and take charge and take over the land that God had promised them. Finally, after 40 years of wandering around in disobedience and being hard-headed and, you
stubborn
and praising God one day and then doubting God the next day, now they're ready to go in. And God is reminding them through Joshua that this is going to be their place of rest.
Wow, that's powerful. And I think a lot of times when people hear that word Canaan, they kind of try to associate it with heaven, but we see that God here is describing a place where they would have the promises fulfilled, and that would be on this side and not when we get to heaven. You follow me?
Yes.
And so this helps to reinforce the fact that there will be challenges along the way and there will be difficulties that we have to endure. But if we remain steadfast in our faith, God has promised to deliver us from all of the bondages that we might find ourselves caught in. And you know, many times, Lady Kim, too many Christians are in between time and in the meantime. And by that, and they're in between in their spiritual lives. Sometimes people get stuck in between Egypt and Canaan. And so they never get to the place where they can find that rest and the victory that God is describing here in this particular passage. And so Joshua was given specific instructions, and he had to follow those instructions in order that he might receive the kind of success that God had waiting for him.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
So don't get stuck between Egypt and Canaan. Don't move into the promised land and keep a P.O. box in Egypt. You got to go all the way.
Right now.
Yeah, you got to press your way.
Yes.
You got to lay aside the weights and the sin that does so easily beset you. And you got to trust God even when it looks like the promise is not going to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's so easy to get stuck in the middle.
That's right.
In the in-between time, in the meantime. You know, it's easy to get stuck in the middle. You know you can't go back.
Right.
But you're too scared to go
forward.
You know, get yourself out of neutral. Get out of gear.
Wow.
Put yourself in drive and start moving forward.
Get out of that rut.
Amen.
And move forward.
Take your foot off the brake.
Uh-oh.
And ease forward.
That's right.
Let it coast a little bit until you get up enough momentum to go forward.
That's right. That's right. Well, there's a lot of comparisons between Joshua and Jesus the Christ, because many theologians would suggest that Joshua was a prototype. He was like one that was preparing the way for the children of Israel to go into their promise. And Jesus was the one who released us from all of the bondages that we were in so that we might have eternal life. And so it's kind of I think Joshua's name means Jehovah is salvation. And so it is even with Jesus's name. As I was looking at that, it's the same reference. Joshua's name means salvation, but Jesus's reminder, his name was for the salvation of the people. You follow what I'm saying?
Say that again.
Joshua's name meant salvation.
Okay.
But Jesus's name was the fulfillment of the promises that God had established, and he was the one who gave us our salvation. Mm-hmm. So if you translate Joshua's name and then you look at Jesus's name in Greek, it is equivalent, both meaning God's salvation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so it's a little play on words, and so that's why a lot of theologians were saying that Joshua is kind of the prototype for Jesus, and that he was setting up a different kind of deliverance for the children of Israel. But when Jesus came, he set a freedom and a deliverance from bondage for all people.
All right.
And so it was not like it was just a one-time thing, but it was for all people to achieve that that freedom that Jesus had set up, those who would accept him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. What time is it?
Well, we have about 10 minutes. I don't, which verse did we stop with? 16?
Well,
I think 16.
You read all of those, but we stopped around verse number, we stopped
14,
at 14.
14.
And this was talking about them preparing for what they would have to endure when they got ready to go into the promised land. The interesting thing here was that the wives and the little ones and the cattle, they remained in the land which Moses had gave them on the other side of Jordan, and that they were using that as a place when they came back from Canaan for them to rest after they had went in. And I was thinking about when, who was that, Caleb and Joshua went in and all of the reports.
Spied out the land.
And everybody came back with a negative report. You remember that?
Yes.
But Joshua and Caleb came back with a positive report and said, it's a lot over there, but we can take this. And so they had that kind of mentality long before Joshua became the lead in terms of leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Mm-hmm.
And I think God uses people that have vision, mm-hmm. you know, and Joshua and Caleb both had a different kind of vision.
Okay.
They didn't have the same. Remember, 12 spies went over
right.
to spy out the land.
Right.
But
right.
only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report, like mm-hmm. you said. 12 went over. 10 had negative reports. They were afraid. You know,
they're giants over there.
We look like grasshoppers in their sight.
Yeah.
You know, but Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, but did you see the grapes?
Did you see the grapes?
Did you see, you know, did you see the land is flowing with milk and honey?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they saw something totally different. And sometimes we have to relanguage things. Sometimes mm-hmm. we have to rethink things. You know, you'll say, oh, I'm not feeling good. No, relanguage that and say, I'm feeling better today than I was yesterday.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
don't say you don't feel good. Just find something positive to say. We speak too many negative things into the atmosphere. So if we begin to speak positive things and see things positively, then our lives will start to make a change towards the better.
That's right.
God uses people with vision.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Well, Lady Kim, let's get ready to wrap this up because this is a lot, and I hope that you all would go ahead and read chapter 2 for next week of Joshua, and then you can reflect back over chapter 1. We just kind of went through there and pulled out a couple of things, but when we set the tone with the summaries and everything of what is to happen, we really didn't want to rush through this, and then we spent a little time early on talking about relationships. But this book of Joshua is a powerful book, and it really kind of gives us a handle on being courageous, and it talks about how important it is for us to be obedient to the things of God, and it gives us the kind of understanding of what God requires of us if we want to be successful. And so a takeaway would be that be strong and courageous and receive what the Lord said we would. Let me read that again. Be strong and courageous and receive what the Lord said we would. Do whatever is commanded of us by the Lord, and through his people go wherever he sends us, and he will be with us.
Amen.
And so that was part of what Joshua used as a mandate for him. He trusted God. He was obedient to God. He stood on the promises and the power of God, even when it was difficult, even when people didn't clearly understand the assignment. He was willing to be faithful and obedient to what God had already placed in his heart.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I believe that's about our close point for tonight, Lady Kim. Are there any prayer requests or anything that y'all need us to touch and agree with you around? Go ahead and put that in the margin there, and we want to make sure that we pray with you and pray for you and believe God for your abundant harvest this year. And so you've got to get a vision of your harvest if you expect to move forward in your assignment that God has given.
Amen.
Do you believe that, Lady?
Amen. Yes. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Any requests coming in?
None so far.
Okay.
Well, I had a couple of prayer requests from the prayer warriors. Let me find it. They asked, well, while I'm looking forward for it, we want to lift up my brother
mm-hmm.
In Indiana, Maryville, Indiana. He's in the hospital with COVID complications. So we lift up my brother. And I know Sister Pat Reynolds also asked prayer for her sister who was having complications from COVID. I was trying to find my prayer, my intercessory prayer line.
And people, you know, not just the ones who have been tested positive, the whole family is affected by it because it's a difficult situation and they're still trying to get come to terms with what works with this new Omicron variant that's going out there. And the numbers seem to be increasing and people are still kind of flowing as if nothing is actually happening. But mm-hmm. we have to be cautious and we have to continue to follow all of the guidelines, CDC guidelines and protocols so that we can remain healthy. And we have to take our vaccines as well as our boosters and make sure that we protect ourselves as well as those that we come in contact with.
Amen.
And don't just think about yourself, but think about others and think about your family during this season.
Amen. I can't locate it right now, but I wanted to mention specific names, but God knows the names of those who are on the sick and shut-in list, those who have requested prayer for members of their family. We lift them up before the Lord right now.
Okay. And we're in the middle of, we're getting started really on our fast, a 20-day fast started today. And so want everyone to be aware of that. And there's information that's on our website that will give you the guidelines and all of the things that you need in order to follow us as we move through this 20 days. I believe this is going to get us ready for understanding our assignment as well as helping us to be consecrated and being specific in terms of our prayers and understanding that obedience brings the reward.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So will you prepare to close us out tonight, Lady Kim, with
sure.
a word of prayer?
Let us pray. God, we thank you tonight. Hallelujah. We bless you and we honor you.
Yes,
you are worthy to be praised. We thank you for this lesson tonight, God, that is an encouragement to us to be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous because you've gone before us. You fought every battle for us, God. And the battle has already been won. We
yes,
just have
God.
To trust and believe, oh God, that you are going to continue to do what you do best, and that's be God. You know what's best for us, God, and we thank you today, God, that you go before us. We thank you that you are our banner. We thank you, oh God, that you are God who knows and supplies every need. We ask, oh God, that those who are on the sick and shut-in list and those who have asked for prayer for their loved ones, that you would intervene right now. Touch those, oh God, who are on their beds of affliction. Raise them up, oh God. Heal them and give them strength so that they might run on to see what the end will be. And we thank you tonight, God, for all of those who are on this Bible study on tonight, God. We ask your choicest blessings to fall upon them, oh God, as they have listened to the word of God tonight. Allow them to see what it is that you would have for their lives, oh God. And as we go into this week, oh God, and into this fast, strengthen our bodies, oh God, as we pray and fast and seek your face like never before. We thank you, oh God, that you have imparted into us a communication mechanism through the word of prayer, through reading your word and meditation, that we can draw nigh unto you. We love you today, God, for drawing nigh unto us. We feel your power and your presence moving like never before. And we thank you, oh God, that because of this fast, oh God, you're going to break some bonds,
you,
oh God. You're going to set the captive free, oh God. You're going to break some bad habits, oh God. And then, God, you're going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we shall not have room enough to receive. We stand on tiptoe with our eyes wide open, our hands wide open, God, so that we can receive. And God, we're not just going to receive so that we can have more. We're going to receive so that we can be a blessing to somebody else,
yes,
oh God.
God.
So we thank you for your abundant harvest, oh God. The abundant harvest of your people. The abundant harvest of souls being saved, oh God, and being brought into the kingdom. We thank you for the abundant harvest of 1,000 people being brought into the kingdom, 100 baptisms, oh God. We name it, we claim it, we believe it, we receive it right now, oh God. And we speak it into the atmosphere, and it is so, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And we give you thanks, we give you honor, we give you praise. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and praise God. All right, well, don't forget now, next Monday, we will be in chapter 2, and we will continue our celebration, our birthday celebration all month long. We encourage you to go to our website, anointedtemple.org, and see all of the different things that will be happening this month.
Amen. The fasting guide is posted there in the chat.
Okay.
So if you're looking on the feed, you can tap on that, and the fasting guide and calendar is there for you.
All right. Well, until next time, y'all be blessed and have a great rest of this evening.
Amen. Love you guys. Thank you for joining tonight.
Bye.
See you on Monday. See you on Sunday.
That's right.
Bye-bye.